Greetings of love and spirit from the island of Catalina. I would like to suggest that as you listen to a tape, you close your eyes at the beginning and know that I am not in this body. And I would also like to suggest that you make this a usual practice. It would even be better if, before you begin listening to a tape, before you actually turn it on, you do exactly what we're going to do this moment. I am not in this body. Now, you would be surprised to discover the great effect this has upon your understanding. It releases you to a superior intelligence. It releases you to the divine consciousness. Because the moment there is even a recognition of the fact that you are the I, which is not confined to the finite physical form, you are omnipresent. And omnipresence has its own infinite intelligence, and at that moment, you see, the world within you is one. It really is then your invisible self to which I speak. And try to remember this, not just for the next tape that you listen to in your home. You'll find it very valuable in all your relationships in this world to precede all important things that you do with the knowledge that I am not this body. I am not in this body. I am the invisible self. It is to that invisible self that the invisible self is now speaking to here. And you will hear it here where you are. We have had a very unusual month. Some wonderful things, some perplexing things. We have had reports from many of you about your out-of-the-body experiences. Some have felt their own presence in more places than one at the same time, which is a glimmer of omnipresence. Others have said, I was lifted out of my body as on a cloud. One has spoken of light streaming out of the body. Another has said my meditations were very difficult for a long time, and I couldn't understand why, but suddenly there's a softening. There's an easier entrance into the silence, and I can stay there longer. And others have said, although I had high mountaintops and great inner vision, I still have what may be called my problem. And then there were some who said, we were so busy doing healing work, calls came. And there were a number of healings. And one said, although there was a healing, why did it not hold? Why did the individual need another healing? Why do we have to repeat healing the same person? What is the mistake we are making? Usually, when healings are repeated and repeated, it is because they are mind healings. They do not penetrate the surface of the mind, and they are not spiritual healings. They are not healings of one self, but rather of one human being healing another human being. In other words, we're patching up the flesh. We're seeing another person out there who needs healing. And it seems to work, but it recurs. Sometimes it is not your fault at all. You are not in control of the consciousness of another human being. And if that individual is benefited by the healing you give, but does not change consciousness, there's really little you can do about it. It's when two or more are gathered in my name, when the individual and you are of one spiritual consciousness, you can have a permanent healing. And then there's another problem sometimes. If we don't have sufficient personal spiritual power, if we can't get the person out of the way for the fullness of spirit to come through, it's a sort of a quick, fast touching of a consciousness upon another without the depth. If you knew how Catherine Kuhlman attained her healings, you would realize that she always used the group consciousness. There are no records that she personally, individually worked on people, but rather the individual was exposed to the group consciousness. And this is a very powerful way of doing healing. We're going to see more of that in a different way in our own group consciousness. And then there were letters and calls from mothers and grandmothers who, for some reason or other, were impressed with the nature of the infinite way work suddenly and found that it was doing a great deal of good for them. And even one woman who really had never heard of the infinite way phoned from her sick bed. It seems that she had been trying to get a house, and her father had called. And she also had pneumonia. Oh, she was in a difficult way. Nothing was working right. She was sick. She couldn't get the house, and everything was going astray. And when the father called and everything in her life suddenly changed and she saw motion moving in all different directions, doing things that amazed her, straightening out everything, the sickness, the house, she couldn't believe it. And so she called and said, "How can my son learn this?" She wanted her son to learn this, even though she didn't know what it was, because it was changing her life right in front of her eyes. There's been a good deal of this. Mothers report that the child listens to tapes, and they're so elated. And then one just said, "I heard my son say," I think it was something like, "I have nothing to worry about," or, "I'm safe. God is always protecting me." The point is that these children had responded to something. And I think we're going to find that these children are closer to the kingdom of God than the adults who are in this world. They haven't yet developed this world. And they're closer to my kingdom. It's only when they grow up and develop the appearances of this world in their consciousness that they're further away from my kingdom. That's why we're told to be as little children. But you might say there is a general awakening. An awakening from what might be called the world's sickness. I think we're beginning to see the old words in a new way. When we hear that to know God aright is life eternal, it isn't something remote. It isn't in the distant future. Something in us responds and we think of life eternal living itself here and now as my being. We feel the possibility of making contact in some way with this life eternal. As a group, we are beginning to know the here universe of God, the now universe of God. We are beginning to discover the infinite possibilities of this now life eternal. There was a man sick of palsy. And Christ said to him, "Arise, take up thy bed, and walk." Now, if Christ had said to him, "There is a room I want you to walk in that has no floor," it would have been exactly the same. He was really teaching a new way to walk. A spiritual way. A way to walk without feet. This past month, when you were practicing walking in a room without a floor, you found you couldn't walk in with physical feet. How were you going to walk in that room? You had to do it in consciousness. And some of you found that the only way to walk into that room was to know the truth, that you were not a finite body, but you were the infinite spiritual body. And therefore, there was nothing outside your body into which you could walk. You had to see the room as a mental image. You had to see that your presence is already where the room appears. You had to realize that you now are in every room of this world. Only a false body walks into a room. The world is in you. As you realize, the room is in me, the world is in me. And I mean realize. When that realization occurs, something has happened to you that is going to prove very vital. That something is called soul movement. You are developing soul movement. Soul movement is the pathway to the kingdom of God on earth. It's a new starting point. It's a new way of living. And suddenly you become aware that in the Bible, there have been countless phrases to stimulate you into soul movement, phrases that we walk by. When the Bible tells you to walk in the light, you know that has absolutely nothing to do with physical movement. That is to stimulate you into soul movement, to walk spiritually. And it means to walk not in the flesh, not on material feet. And it means to walk not under the limitations of matter. It means to live in your soul. To walk into a room that has no floor means to live in your soul. Human feet can only walk in this world. Feet are a symbol of earthiness. Feet make contact with the ground. And so Christ washes the feet, not only of Peter, but of the entire human race. Which means, I am washing your feet so that you will not walk in the physical world. In spiritual terminology, walk means to rise above matter. Arise, pick up thy bed, advance in spiritual understanding. Walk not in space, but move toward the Christ within you. Move toward Christ recognition. Walk as children of the light. How often we have heard that divine command. It is really a revelation. It is bestowing upon us a great truth, a secret way of life, because those who walk as children of the light are enabled to obey the Christ command, follow me. And that command of the Christ to follow me comes from within your being. I'd like you to think for a moment of your last spiritual experience. What made it a spiritual experience? You felt a stirring of some kind. It was an experience that had nothing to do with your human mind. It was an experience that took place in spite of your human mind, and your human mind was not in it. What is that something that happened to make it spiritual? When suddenly you weren't breathing the same. When suddenly you weren't feeling the same body. You were out of sensation. You were feeling a new kind of freedom. You were not in the material world. That stirring was the movement of your soul. That stirring of the soul is walking in the light. That is how you follow Christ. Your soul moves. That is walking spiritually. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In soul movement, you do not walk in darkness. In soul movement, you touch eternal life. When you read the phrase, walk in darkness, please learn to see it another way. We have often thought that darkness meant the material world, or lack of spiritual awareness. But darkness is also a symbol of something else. Darkness is a symbol of death. When you are told that you walk in darkness, you are being told that you are mortal. You are accepting a life apart from God. Darkness is the belief that I am not the life of God. Whoever walks in darkness must die. But the light of life is the acceptance that I am the life of God. And that is not darkness, and that is not death. That is life eternal. Another symbol of darkness is the visible world. This visible world is the darkness. When you are told that you are walking in darkness, you are being told that you are walking in a visible world, which is not your Father's kingdom. The light of life is not the visible world, it is the invisible world. And to have the light of life, you must move in the invisible world. Only your soul can do this. The movement of your soul is in the invisible world, not in the darkness of this world. Always, soul movement begins in the invisible, in the kingdom, and it replaces the illusion of death. And this is the key to eternal life. Here and now. Most people have never heard the phrase that I am about to read to you from the Bible. Very rarely is it spoken of in the religious world. Very rarely is it spoken of in spiritual classes. It is for you today. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Your transgressions are your belief that you have a life that is not the life of God. And then the activities that you conduct in that life, because of that false belief, are your transgressions. Make ye a new heart. Have you ever heard that before? What kind of a heart would be new? It is because the human heart, the physical heart, is in darkness. You know it is not the creation of God. We have been over that so many times. The only reason a human heart fails is because it is not the creation of God. It is a dream heart. an image in the mind. And the new heart, well, there it is. Make ye a new heart and a new spirit. You have a spiritual heart, but it is infinite. You have an infinite spiritual body with an infinite heart. For why will ye die? Because you will not live in your infinite spiritual body with your infinite heart. And you need not die because you can make a new heart simply by knowing that the life of God is your life. O ye house of Israel does not refer to the nation Israel or to the Hebrew race. The house of Israel is every individual who accepts the infinite life of God, the divine image and likeness of God. I am. When you are living in your infinite body, you have a heart of spirit. And you are the house of Israel. God is your consciousness. And there is no death. That passage was from Ezekiel, chapter 18, verse 31. Ezekiel 18, verse 31. Look at it quite often. It is the voice of God speaking within you, saying, you have a perfect, infinite, spiritual heart, and do not be fooled by any appearance. Nothing can change this truth. God is light, and in him is darkness. Only if you think in terms of darkness, but if you are in truth, in God there is no darkness at all. When you say, I love God, but you are in darkness, you are in duality. When you say, I love God, but I have a life which is independent or separate or not the life of God, you are in darkness. And you cannot put darkness in God. You suffer only from the untruth. That false assumption, whether it's conscious or subconscious, that God has one life and you have another life, and then you're not walking in the light. But when you have a movement within of your soul, the voice itself will say to you, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. That's what John heard. And he also said that this very darkness, which is not in God, is death. The darkness is death. But God is life. And in life there is no death. If you are the life of God, how can you accept the possibility of death? If you accept the possibility of death, you are doing precisely what Peter did. You are denying the Christ. You are denying life. You are saying God is not one. If we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie. If we say that we are one with God and we believe in death, we lie. And we do not the truth. To walk in darkness is what the human race does, and that means to believe in the existence of death. Wherever an individual accepts death as a reality, that individual does not know that God is the only life. And this belief in God life and another kind of life called human life, this is darkness. This is duality. This is a sense of separation from God. And this is what leads to the illusion that man calls death. But if ye walk in the light, says John, and that means if you walk in the knowledge that God life has no opposite, that God life never dies, that God life is the only life, then, says John, you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Cleansed from sin means that we do not experience the illusion of a life separate from God. And it also means that our consciousness is not interrupted by what the world calls death. Like Enoch, you walk with God. I hope every one of you can find an Apocrypha or have one in your Bible between the Old Testament and the New. There are 5 words there by King Solomon. It's in the Wisdoms of Solomon. And I wish everyone in the world could read these words. We have accepted certain statements of Solomon in the Psalms, in Ecclesiastes, in the Song of Solomon. Throughout the world, he is revered as one of the wisest of men. He was so wise that these 5 words he uttered should be printed on the masthead of every newspaper in the world, on the cover of every magazine, on the frontispiece of every book. Listen to them. God did not make death. Did you ever read those words? God did not make death. That's the very first chapter of the Wisdoms of Solomon in the Apocrypha. Verse 13. 1:13. Wisdoms of Solomon in the Apocrypha. God did not make death. You see what that does to our concept of death? How many creators are there? Only God. The only creator did not create death. If the only creator did not create death, it was not created. Who dies? What dies? How can death happen if it was not created by the only creator? Do you see the illusion of death? Proverbs 10:21. Fools die for a lack of wisdom. Revelation 21:4. There shall be no more death. Are you going to wait until the world catches on? God did not create death. And of course, it's very clear. Did God create murder? Germs to kill people? Bombs to kill people? Fires, floods? All the things that allegedly cause death? Stand ye still. Imprint this upon your soul. Death was not created. There shall be no more death in my consciousness. God even says, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth." Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. Now that other statement from Ezekiel before, why die, was 1831. This is 1832. This is the famous statement. But most people do not know about the verse in front of it, which says, make yourself a new heart, a new spirit. And then the Father instructs Ezekiel a certain way. He tells Ezekiel to say to his people, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Just think, if the Father has no pleasure in the death of the wicked and wants the wicked to live, certainly the good must also be included. And if the Father wants you to live, how can you die? How silly. Can you see that? Can you see that no one has ever died, neither the wicked nor the good? There is no such thing. It was never created. The illusion of the senses, which we call death, must become clear to you. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When Peter says that in his second epistle, the word repentance means the knowledge that I am not a separate life from God. I am the life of God. And therefore, because there is no death in the life of God, which I am, I can never die. Can you feel that your understanding of this is life eternal, realized now, and then lived in now? John felt that way in 1 John the third chapter, 14th verse, he tells his students, we have passed from death into life. Are they any different than you and I? We have passed from death into life. And even if you take that we to be an editorial we and think that John was meaning only that he himself had passed from death into life, are you any different than John? Are you any different than Paul? In Romans 8:2, Paul declares that he is free from the law of death. He is free from the law of death. Romans 8:2. Are you any different? Am I? Why were they free from the law of death? Peter, John, Paul, Isaiah. Because they knew that they were the life of God, and there is no death in the life of God. God will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. Yes, Isaiah said that. You find it in his fifth chapter, starting at the seventh verse. Paul picked it up in his second epistle to Timothy, up there in the first chapter. Paul is referring to Christ at verse 10 when he says, who hath abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light? In other words, Christ abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. You know, that word abolished always bothered me. He actually didn't abolish it. It never was, you see. And that's why the translation of abolished didn't appeal to me. I looked it up in a few other Bibles. And in Goodspeed, instead of abolished, it says, who has taken away the power of death. Ah, I like that. And you might add one word even to good speech, who has taken away the false power of death. In other words, remove the veil. Death has been a false power in our midst because we think it's happening. And even though we may think we're not frightened, it has a subconscious influence on us that is very vast. To some people, it governs their whole life activity. Everything is done with the idea that over here somewhere I'm going to die. And then others who do not realize they're doing that, they too are motivated by the fear of ultimate death. I would like to know that you can come to the point where you live in a world where death is impossible, where it plays no part in your plans, where you see it from God's viewpoint. All is life, there is no death, there is no darkness, and I will not live with the shadow of death in my consciousness. In Hebrews, Paul tells us that by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. This should be a normal thing with us. And as individually we develop the consciousness that there is no death, we will have a group consciousness that there is no death. And this group consciousness of no death is power. Paul felt that death seems real in our world for only one reason. And I think he gave us that in 2 Corinthians. Here it is in verse 9. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Oh, what a deep statement. In other words, death seems to be the experience that every person must go through. But now that we have come to this level of consciousness, we can see that death acted for a while as a spur. It made us seek deeper. And finally, in learning that we could not overcome death ourselves, we were forced to turn to something else. This may not have been a conscious act on our part, but if you think back, when your back was against the wall, what did you reach for? You reach for a higher power. And if you could think back into your subconscious, you would see that you were always afraid that death would catch you. And so you were consciously reaching for a higher power because of your subconscious fear of death. And this is what Paul is telling us. And it's beautiful and it's true. We had a sentence of death in ourselves. And the purpose was that we should not trust in ourselves. In other words, that we should reach higher. But that we should trust in God, which raiseth the dead. I've never seen that before. And if I had, I don't think I'd have understood it before. But it explains a few other statements. Like this one in Isaiah 43. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. We had to discover that the only way out of death was to find that I am the life of God. And we have found it. I am the life of God. I cannot die. Hosea 13:4. Yet I am the Lord, thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. If you cannot accept that you are the life of God, don't look for a Savior. Only the life of God that you are is the Savior. Many things now spring up with new understanding. I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. The dead are those who did not know that they are the life of God. And if you continue not to know that you are the life of God, you are the dead. But the hour has come, and now is, when the dead, those who were not sure that they are the life of God, shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And when you feel this throbbing, this soul movement within, saying, yes, yes, you are the life of God. This is it. This is the life of God. Now feel it. Those that feel it are those that hear. And that is life eternal. Now, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. And this is soul movement within you, Christ speaking through soul movement. Christ speaking through your soul within, saying, I say unto you, he that heareth my word within, and believeth on him that sent me, that I am the living life of God within you, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. And I say this is happening to you now. You are passing from death to life, from a life separate and apart from God to the life that is the life of God. And that is the end of the word condemnation. Condemnation means that separation which prevents us from knowing that we are that one eternal life. Again, Ezekiel was told to prophesy, say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. I say unto you, we have come out of our graves. We have come out of the grave of humanhood, the grave of mortality, the grave of physicality, the grave of a life that is a darkness, the grave is the belief that I am not the life of God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, out of your false beliefs in a life separate and apart from God. And John says it in his fifth chapter, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Shall we now look up at the cross? And there is what we call Jesus. And when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Christ on the cross as you place your human sense of a separate life on the cross and yield up the ghost of it, the saints step out of your consciousness. And this is the first resurrection. You are taken to the holy city, and the Christ, the new life, the reality of you, appears. That was not the resurrection of one man. That was a divine revelation on the cross that death is an illusion. Catch it. Understand it as Paul understood it. There is therefore now no condemnation, meaning no death, to them which are in Christ Jesus, which means to them which are accepting, knowing, realizing, believing forever that I am the one life of God, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
To be carnally minded is death.
To be spiritually minded is life and peace.
I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And the Father says, my son has returned. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. And then when Christ receives a note from Mary about the sickness of Lazarus, do you remember what he says? This sickness
is not unto death,
but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. The world, which was dead, is coming forth. In your consciousness, the you that was dead is coming forth. In mine, in his, in hers, in our group, Lazarus is coming forth. The sting of death, says Paul, is sin. Death is a sin because it is a belief in a separate life. Then in Revelation, in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, the beloved John saw the eternal Christ and heard him say, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. As you touch the Christ, as you accept divine life as your life, the Christ, the one life which has the keys of hell and of death, locks death forever out of your life. I want to meditate with you now on the knowledge that you do not have a temporary body. You never have had. This image you call body is a mental image. It is in your mind. You have a body that is eternal, a body that is never imperfect. You have the body of God because you have the life of God. You have a body that never dies. Your body is made of the Spirit of God. Walk in that light. And in this meditation, if you will accept that you have that infinite body of light which is eternal, that you are an omnipresent body, that you are not a life separate and apart from the one body of God, please go all the way and know that you are not in that which you call your physical body. In your physical form, there is no person. Put that form up on the cross. In your physical form, there is no person. There is no one in that form who can ever die. You are life eternal. You are not a person in a form. You are not walking in darkness. You are walking in the light as the child of light. Dwell with me now in that understanding. I know that God did not create death, and therefore did not create anything that dies. I know that nothing can ever die, and that the form can never die because the form is only my mental image. I believe the word of God. I surrender to the truth.